Star Wars Action News presents Republic Forces Radio Network, bringing you coverage of Star Wars, The Clone Wars. Our host will review the toys, books, comics, games, and all things related to the Clone Wars animated series. And after each new episode airs on Cartoon Network, our host will recap and review the show. And we want to hear your thoughts on The Clone Wars. Call us at 415-508-JEDI every Saturday after a new episode, and your call may be played on the air.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Republic Forces Radio Network. I'm Arnie, co-host of Star Wars Action News, here hosting this final episode in the Young Jedi arc, A Necessary Bond. And joining me this week is Jonathan.
Hey everyone, looking forward to talking about the end of this arc and seeing what everybody's impressions were.
Jen.
Hey guys.
And Barron.
Hey everybody, Master Collect Them All, your Swan Holocron Enhancer. And I'm very happy to be back to talk about the conclusion of the Young Jedi story arc.
Yes, this is the fourth of the four episodes, the final bit that I saw back at Star Wars Celebration 6, and I had kind of teased you guys that it would all come together this episode. I know that episode 3 was a little bit confusing with the Grievous space battle and everything that was going on, but here it is, the final wrap-up, and we don't know when we'll next see Katooni, Petro, Huang, and the rest. So let's get your overall impressions. And I'm going to change the order up. Jen, you were the one who was least into the third episode, so we'll start with you. What did you think of this fourth one?
I like this one a lot better. I don't know what it was about. Well, I know what it was about the last episode, but just it didn't do it for me. This one was much better. I enjoyed it a lot. I felt like it had a nice mix of some action and some quieter moments, and Hondo was hilarious, as always. I really liked this, like, Hondo dialogue in this episode. This was a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed it. I didn't have any complaints this time around. For the most part, this arc has been really good. I thought this was a good finish to it. Got to see a couple of the Padawans doing some different things. It wasn't all the same issues with the Padawans over and over again, so I thought it worked well.
Jonathan, how about you?
Like Jen, I really did like this episode. I think, you know, based on what you told us last week, Arnie, I watched it once, and then I watched the whole four-part arc together, and I think it does flow a lot better as part of a greater story. I thought that there were a lot of very strong elements. It was a good wrap-up, and there was a couple of points later in the episode where I actually thought that something would have happened, or, you know, I'm sure we'll get to it, but I was concerned for one of our characters a little bit.
And Barron, what were your thoughts?
Wow, what an episode. Very action-packed, I would say. And I have to agree with Jonathan how he said that it flowed. The whole arc flowed into a crescendo of lightsaber madness. And it's such a contrast from the first episode, where there wasn't really hardly any action going on. And this one was just all action, all suspense, you know, with the music ramped up and the blasters and the lightsabers. And it didn't disappoint me at all. It was a pretty good closing episode for the arc, I feel.
And it picks up right where the last one ends off, with Ahsoka and the younglings still on the run from Hondo's pirate gang. And I wanted to see what you guys thought about this. I actually thought this was a really exciting sequence with them trying to get the speeder they're in to steer itself, and Petro having to go back in and realize that they're driving right towards a cliff. It was taking me back to another Lucasfilm property with the tank chase in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, and I actually found myself really into this scene just on a pure action level, which is hard for any cartoon to do. What do you guys think?
You know, Arnie, I completely agree. This was one of those moments where you know in the back of your mind that they're going to be fine and, you know, that it's very unlikely that they're going to kill these kids. But you were wondering, you were sitting there going, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? How are they going to get out of this? I really, really liked it. It was kind of just threw you right into the action. And that's always what, you know, a big part of Star Wars has been for me, that action that grabs you and shakes you around for a little while. And I think this did a very good job doing that.
I think what I liked about it is that it was really unpredictable. Like, you had no idea what was going on at any time. Like, they were, you know, turning around and swinging all this way, and I figured they would all just kind of jump up onto the ship, and then they were, you know, hanging over cliffs, and I really enjoyed that inability to predict what was going on, because I feel like some of the show gets really formulaic, and this really broke out of that.
Well, you know, what was really familiar to me was at the end of last week's episode, we see that they've made their escape and they're just, it's kind of quiet, you know, and they're kind of riding off, you know, into the desert. And here when they pick up, it's automatic. They're already being shot at. You know, and that's kind of reminiscent to, like, the old school things when I was a kid, you know, like the old Batman series or whatever, or a series where at one end, you know, things were okay, and then the next time, the next week comes, it's cut a whole different way to where you kind of forget what it was, but they kind of jump into the action. It was kind of that thing. So it felt familiar. And who does not like crashes and chasing? You know, they're able to pull off a chasing as a cartoon. And even though we know that these kids aren't going to die, you know, we can trust that in Star Wars that they can get around people having injuries. You know, they find ways for people to have injuries and still be around. It was pretty cool. I liked the first sequence of the episode.
I thought it did a original trilogy callback in a good way, because you had Ahsoka and the younglings in that speeder, and they were calling to the ship, and the ship wasn't responding, and the action-packed, the screaming, and Petra going, "Where can he be?" It was really taking me back to the trash compactor scene, but it wasn't obvious. I thought it was a nice, little, subtle way to do it.
It was tone, not direct cribbing.
Right, because you have Gnoti acting exactly how 3PO would act, you know, kind of oblivious, and it was so cool. It was like when he answers, he doesn't understand that they're in a rush. He's still trying to talk to Ahsoka. He's like, "Padawan Tana, we've rescued you!" Or she. I'm not sure if Gnoti is a girl or a boy. I'm kind of getting a girl from her. But it was kind of funny like that, just as the same thing, you know, as a callback to the trash compactor scene.
And this scene goes on for a while, and what I never expected to have happen was one of Hondo's pirates actually shoots the engine of their escape ship and blows it up, and R2 has to crash land gently. I didn't see that coming. I was back in my RPG games where there were weapons of scale and a blaster could never damage a starship.
But I think it's where you hit the starship. I mean, we already know that this ship is extremely old and probably not designed for combat in any shape or form. I mean, we saw two episodes ago that it didn't really even seem to have any defensive weapons. I know what you're talking about the class of weapons. I played the old West End games too, but it seemed logical, and it just, I think, as Jen said earlier, that was a twist I didn't even see coming. It was a nail-biter.
And I think that it was a cannon that was mounted on that speeder, right? It wasn't just like blasters that took that engine down. It was a cannon. It's just kind of rigged up to where they kind of like put things, salvaged pieces together on their ship. So I think it was kind of a cannon that blew up that engine.
Yeah, maybe a cannon, but speeder class is still different than starship class. Just saying.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Now, Jonathan, you said you felt danger for one of the characters. Was this the point? Because when they're all dangling out of that ramp, kind of taking me back to their little acrobatic circus routine from the last one, and poor Gnoti is trying to hang on with his elongated suction cup fingers. I'm like, there's got to be a better way up than Gnoti. You didn't want to get the Wookiee up there pulling or something. I really found myself thinking, wow, young children in danger. I don't see that on TV that often.
You know, I know that they were in danger, and I know that even I kind of felt there was some risk there. But again, as I said earlier, in the back of my mind, I knew they weren't going to hurt them. This is not the point that I was talking about. It comes a little bit later in the episode. I did like the uncertainty, and I'll say uncertainty. I didn't know if they were going to get separated. I didn't know if somebody was going to be hurt. I didn't think they were going to die or anything, but this isn't the point.
Okay, because this was the point where I felt a little bit of tension, and when I was watching this at Celebration, honestly, at this point, I don't remember a whole lot about how I felt when watching it there. There's a couple specific callbacks I do remember, but last time we all kind of commented that the General Grievous space attack came out of nowhere, and here General Grievous has another attack out of nowhere where he, at Count Dooku's behest, decides he's going to invade Hondo's pirate army and take control of the planet.
So let me understand this, because, again, when I watched all four episodes together, I found myself wondering, did Grievous kind of bump into Obi-Wan's fleet as they were both heading toward Florum? Or did Grievous know that Obi-Wan was heading there, wanted to take out Obi-Wan, which was the nearest Republic fleet, and then attack Florum? How did this play for you guys?
I kind of took it as we're here anyway, and we just, I think effectively they won that battle in the space, so the whole system was taken over, and so I loved it. The first stop that they make, the Dooku orders, is to go and kick the crud out of Hondo for what he did 3 seasons ago. I thought it fit really well. It made sense to me.
And this story is a long time coming because we just saw a revival. And it was in Revival where Hondo is, you know, his whole organization is decimated. And Jen, you're absolutely right. It is really cool that they brought it all together. Dooku remembers exactly what Hondo did to him and holding him hostage. And what is the best part, how Hondo is handling it? You know, he is so smooth. When General Grievous walks into Hondo and Hondo's sitting there force-feeding his pet alcohol, Grievous says, "This whole system, you are under my control." And Hondo says, "And what exactly do you think that means?" I was like, "What the? That's a great line."
I kind of liked it, too. I mean, Hondo just rolls with it, and he's a pragmatist. I kind of really liked that reaction. It's unlike any reaction I've ever seen happen in Star Wars when somebody says, "We're taking you over."
And still trying to make a deal, you know? So, yeah, so he's still trying to make a deal.
To go back to your original question, Jonathan, I have to say that my taking of it isn't as clean. Because, as I understand it, Obi-Wan and Cody weren't on their way to rescue Ahsoka yet. They had just gotten the message. You know, they just hung up the phone with the younglings, and he was like, "Cody, why don't you go?" And then they were under attack instantly. It was very random. And then here, Grievous being here seems like another coincidence. It just so happened that Grievous was sent here next. And that is kind of lazy writing to me. And this episode has some lazy writing in it. I think we're just not supposed to question because it seems like every time Grievous shows up, he's invading a new planet. So here he is again.
I gotta say, though, talking about Grievous, he seemed a lot more competent this episode than we've seen him before. I know we said last episode, you know, we kind of maybe shrugged off a little bit of the mustache twirling. But here he honestly seemed like a genuine threat, which is something that Grievous, when he was first announced as a character in Star Wars, I thought he was going to be that sort of uber threat. But this may be the first time since the Tartakovsky series that he actually felt like one.
I agree. He felt competent. And I very rarely feel that way about him when he's walking like a spider or a crab. But yet, he was using it to good effect. I thought it was a nice hybrid between the Tartakovsky over-the-top Grievous and the Episode 3 kind of weird Transformer Grievous. It worked for me here. And yeah, he's did very well. He ends laughing. He has, in some ways, a victory. He does get the planet. He doesn't get Hondo, but he does get the planet. That's 2 pseudo wins in a row. They're kind of partial victories, but they're victories nonetheless.
And what Grievous does is he allows the story to have a real baddie for us to not like and hate. And then that allows us to get behind Hondo, who just a couple episodes ago, he's trying to kidnap these guys. He's trying to kidnap the lightsaber crystals. But in the process, you know, if the kids would have gotten in the way, he would have exterminated them. So that is kind of a character that we're not supposed to like. But what Grievous does is get it to where we can get behind Hondo, where he is the best choice of 2 evils, which are kind of my favorite stories, where you have to get 2 people who are natural enemies to get to work together to defeat a greater enemy. I think that's pretty much a classic story. And then you mentioned the spider-walking Grievous and how kind of silly that looked, you know, when we first saw it, or when you saw it, when I saw it in, was it Episode 3 that he did that? Or, you know, but in the Tartakovsky series when he did that, he was menacing. And it was kind of freaky to see Grievous kind of walk like that. You saw it in Gunji's face when he saw him walking at him in the mist. So I think Grievous, this shows that Grievous can be a force to be reckoned with. He can be taken seriously.
And in addition, he has another victory. I mean, he does capture Hondo, and we get this wonderful reversal. 2 episodes ago, Hondo had Ahsoka up in the blue light chain thing. I don't know what it is. I know it's from the movies. I still don't quite understand how it's restraining somebody. And now Hondo's up in the big blue light of death.
I really enjoyed how, you know, the Separatists came in, and they didn't only take Hondo prisoner. They didn't only depose him. They took apart his base. They burned it. And it was just, it was harsh. It was Dooku through Grievous getting revenge. And I really liked it because you would think that that had to be coming.
I was impressed with how much carnage they showed. Well, to its technology, I guess you could say, but they had like this giant bonfire of just Hondo's stuff. And I thought that was really interesting that we've never really seen the Separatists do anything. Like, we hear about them oppressing people and, you know, they're taking over this system or that system, but we never really see anything that they do. And this is Dooku exacting as much vengeance as he possibly can. And he's hitting Hondo right where it hurts, which is his stuff, his pocketbook. And it's great. Like, he doesn't try to enslave his people. He doesn't try to do anything to Hondo physically. He just makes him sit there and wait while all of his stuff goes up in smoke. I thought that was brilliant.
I took it as he was melting down his metal, and he needed the metal, you know? Wasn't that why Dooku was there? He was like, this is a bunch of scrap metal. My droids are made out of metal.
Sure, it could be that, you know, and I hadn't really thought necessarily that. Grievous and the droids weren't necessarily going to let useful material go to waste. You would think that they would have taken his ships and used them for some sort of purpose instead of cutting them all up.
Yeah, I could take it both ways. It's either vengeance or, like Baron's saying, it's raw material that goes back into the smelting plant to make the next super battle droid. But it is ruthless. It is showing a supreme amount of vengeance, which I do like seeing from the Separatists. But then we get to the plot point that brings us our little fortune cookie for this episode. Choose your enemies wisely, as they may be your last hope, as Ahsoka and the younglings have to turn to Hondo for help in order to escape. Their ship shot down. They need a ship. Hondo is sure to have one in hiding somewhere.
This was the only time, I guess, I felt any jarring in the episode. I thought that Hondo's men seemed to accept Ahsoka rather quickly. I'm not sure if that's in their character. And then the only part that I really didn't enjoy as much about the episode that kind of got me to groan a bit was the banter between the battle droids and R2 when they snuck back in. I just felt that anytime the battle droids are used for comic relief, I cringe.
Well, we have another callback to A New Hope, where you have Hondo trying to get to where his stash of ships are, and that's straight Death Star run, right? I mean, you get three speeders ahead as the X-Wings, and then you have the Grievous and the two battle droids as the TIE fighters, and I thought that was a pretty good callback to the Death Star run.
Jumping back to Hondo and like how they kind of teamed up with him really quickly, I actually really liked that. It's really cliche, it's really kind of dumb, but like I appreciated that Ahsoka, of all people, didn't hem and haw and, oh, we gotta team up with him just to make sure we can get out. Like, she's just really practical, and she kind of reminded me a little bit of Obi-Wan, where it's just like, well, this has gotta be done. There's no emotion about it at all. I feel like she was being really very Jedi-like in that sense. She had removed herself and her feelings from the equation, and so I actually kind of appreciated that. And the chase scene, yeah, it really reminded me of a little bit of episode 1 when they're weaving through the canyons, but mostly of the trench run on episode 4. So I thought it was a neat little callback without being completely blatant copies of those scenes.
Yeah, and I didn't mind the banter so much. I don't know, maybe I've become a bit accustomed to it. I kind of chuckled at the I outrank you. It made me wonder, do the Separatists use astromechs? I haven't seen a lot of that, and I wouldn't think that there would be rank, but okay, I could go with that.
Well, what a great original way to use R2. You know, R2 is usually the savior behind the scenes, getting the ship started and piloting the ship, and he actually does some of that in this episode. But now you use him as a spy, basically, where he's trying to create a diversion so they can get in there and get Hondo. I think that was pretty original for them to use R2 in that way. And people know I'm not the biggest fan of R2 and him catching sabers and stuff like that, you know, but it kind of makes sense. You would send the robot to fool the robots.
But then they split up. It was Katooni was with Hondo going one way, and the others kind of separated, and Hondo made it to his sort of spaceship hangar, and it was funny, my youngest referred to that as the magic door. Now, was that the Twilight smashed above it?
Maybe misremembering, but I thought it looked like a B-wing. Did I totally misremember that?
It looked like the Twilight to me and my boys, so, I mean, that's kind of what I thought it was, because Jonah turns to me and goes, what is that doing there?
You know, it does look like the Twilight. Now that I'm looking at a picture or a picture of it now on my DVR, it does look like the Twilight, actually. Has the Twilight crashed on Falorum?
We haven't seen it for a while, but I don't know if it's ever been stated anywhere that it crashed, but I don't think it's been used in the maybe two seasons. Well, if it wasn't the Twilight, it was likely the same class of ship, which you would have to assume there's at least more than one of them floating around.
Plus, let's keep in mind, we are seeing these episodes somewhat out of order, so maybe we'll see it crash in a few weeks, besides we get a much cooler ship.
That they do. It had been long speculated, but we get the return of Slave One, with pirate colors and markings, no less.
Yeah, these are the colors that we know and love, right? And who knew? What a great retcon that really doesn't change anything. Hondo is the reason why Slave One looks the way that Slave One does in The Empire Strikes Back. You know, Hondo's the one that gave him the colors. You know, if you kind of look at Hondo, he is wearing those colors. You know, that kind of burgundy and green and gray. Those are his pirate band of colors. So it's pretty cool that we got Slave One back. You know, we knew that after Ahsoka had crashed it, that it was going to be there somewhere, and he fixed it up and he's using it.
Yeah, I did not expect that, but I loved that. I mean, I just love seeing it, and who knew? I think Hasbro knew, and I think next year we'll know again when we are buying that finally in the vintage colors, because now they have a TV tie-in to tie it into.
It'll be the vintage colors, but it'll have Hondo insignia on it.
So there'll be three variations we have to buy.
There could be.
Maybe they'll do like they did with the B-Wing, and that's a decal that you can choose to apply or not. But yeah, Slave One back, so we know that that's going to continue there. But let's get back to kind of the Ahsoka-Hondo bit, because Hondo, before he agrees, he wants to see a lightsaber be built. And this was the moment. I got an email from one of our listeners this week, right after this episode aired, like within minutes of it airing on the East Coast, that said, I'm done. I am done with Star Wars. I'm done collecting. The Clone Wars has become too kiddy. I just can't watch it anymore. I'll come back to Star Wars when the new movies hit in a few years, but I am walking away because this episode just killed it for me. And I'm wondering if this is the scene, because this is the moment where I felt like we were back in that first Young Jedi episode where it all resides on this girl to find it in herself to build the saber or there will be no deal.
It was corny, sure, but I didn't let it bother me like that. Wow. It was a little goofy, but it was fine. I mean, remember this, even though there's a disconnect, this is still supposed to be skewing younger.
I don't know if skewing younger, though, means stripping it of any difficulty. Like, obviously I'm not going to throw my hands up and quit Star Wars from this, but it did bother me a little bit. I felt like some of the writing in this episode had been so good, and this just felt sloppy and really, like, they just had a loose end. They're like, oh, crap, you know, we never had her build her lightsaber. Quick, let's just throw this in here. Or, I don't know, that's what it felt like. Maybe that's not what they intended, but it felt really sloppy, and it felt almost dumbed down. Like, I'm of the opinion that maybe simplifying things for kids is one thing, but making it stupid is not the same thing.
I don't necessarily think that this was, you know, kind of thrown in. I took this as kind of building that relationship or that the starting of that relationship between Katooni and Hondo. And we see that kind of arc a little bit through this episode, that he's the one who kind of gives her that encouragement to do what she needs to do. And then later, she is the one who kind of gets him to show his heart of gold and go back for everybody else.
Which begs the question, what kind of father does Katooni have where she's attracted to Hondo and wants to have his back? But no, I think that you've been a little harsh on it, Jen. I think it fits completely. I don't think it was kind of dumbed down or stupid. It was, and Hondo even said, you know, Ahsoka says to Hondo, why all the rigmarole, why the drama when you don't have a choice? You know, and I think it goes to Hondo's attitude, his personality. You know, he knows that he's going to help them, but nothing's for free. You know, he still is amused and he wants to see something. He wants to get something for his help. So if that means building the lightsaber and getting a little Jedi to like him so he could use her in the future, possibly. Kind of the same thing he's done with Boba, with he likes Boba Fett. You know, Boba's not going to stab him in the back when he gets older. I think it went right with Hondo's personality for me. You know, and we got to forget, you know, he is a pirate. You know, there's a lot of things that would amuse a pirate that wouldn't amuse us. And maybe seeing a lightsaber built, you know, is something that would hold value to someone who lives in the Outer Rim, who we've seen kind of respects the Jedi, if not wants to be on their team all the time, but respects what they kind of represent, who they are. I don't know if he thinks they're a cult or religion, but he knows that they're there. And it just seems like that he was showing respect for that part of the Jedi training. I don't know.
To clarify, I really liked that part where he's like kind of like almost lusting after this knowledge. Like he thinks it's really fantastic because, I mean, for a pirate, being able to even just say, I've seen a lightsaber be built, I have a basic concept of maybe even what goes into it. Maybe he can identify some of the parts, anything like that. I thought that was fine. I just had a really hard time with the idea of, here, show me your lightsabers, and, oh, yours doesn't work. We'll build it right here, and she builds it with no problem at all. And it just seemed, that part seemed really cobbled together and really dumbed down, and I couldn't really understand what they were trying to go for with that in the story, and it just, that part bothered me. But the Hondo stuff I thought was fine.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jen. It just felt shoehorned in. I don't think that it's, oh, we forgot we never gave her lightsaber. I think the reason she couldn't build her lightsaber 2 episodes ago was leading up to this triumphant moment of character growth, but it's really forced. I'm liking Hondo in that, being a pirate, he can't give something for nothing. He's making this demand, but it almost feels like he's making a Mr. Rogers demand. He's not demanding it for him, he's demanding it to help her grow. And this is, though, very shortly after the moment I realized Hondo is my favorite Clone Wars character. And it's because he said that he wanted to make sure they were ready because he doesn't like to take children into battle. Which is, in my instant thought, well, that's sloppy writing. He was just trying to kill them. But then they have Ahsoka call him out on it, and he goes, but today's a different day, and today I like children. And I'm like, I like this craziness. Now, maybe it's the writers realizing that they've written themselves into a corner, and so they're going to write themselves out of it by just making him nuts. But I like him nuts. I like him so unpredictable that the whims of the day make him decide whether he wants to protect or kill children. That is a chaos that I'm unused to seeing in any part of Star Wars, because even the Sith, for their evilness, are very controlled and methodical. You just don't see chaos that often, and I was enjoying it, and I don't know, I've known some people like him. I've known some people who, depending on the day, will kill someone or not kill someone, metaphorically. So I could go with his kind of insanity. So when it comes to the lightsaber thing, I'm with him. I'm kind of going along for the ride with him just making these crazy demands, because clearly he's not right in the head, right?
Definitely not. Maybe he's the weak way equivalent of schizophrenic, because his mood does completely change from situation to situation. And I think he's, you know, very sort of driven by the moment, which, as you said, Arnie, is one of the things that you really love about this character. I mean, that he's kind of romping in with a cutlass and lopping off droid heads one moment, and the next moment, you know, being very, very methodical and reserved. And I think that's one of the great things about the Hondo characters. You don't really know what to expect from him from moment to moment. And so it's always a surprise, and it's always fun.
And I'm seeing it totally from the other side, that I think his mood is very predictable. Hondo is a businessman. It's about business. And if being on the Jedi side is good for him and good for his business, that's the side he's going to be on. And I kind of took it as, when he wanted to see if they were ready for battle, you know, we don't know if Hondo has a different plan, even though that's not what we saw. And maybe he did. Maybe he was going to get rescued anyway. He had a plan to get out of there. And he didn't know if these little Jedi were going to slow him down. You know, that's kind of how I took it. That Hondo always has a rhyme and reason for the things that he does. And yes, today he likes children because those are the children that are going to help him escape. I really felt if he felt that those children wouldn't help him or wouldn't be a benefit to his escape, he would have just told them to kick rocks.
Hondo strikes me as someone who's kind of been through so much that he doesn't, like, deliberately almost doesn't take anything seriously anymore because it just makes things too difficult. So I really love this idea of how his, for lack of a better word, psychology works, where he's just, everything is funny to him. And granted, he's trying to get to a certain end. He has a goal, which is make money and have the things he wants, but for the most part, he's laughing at it the whole time. Like, he's really rarely angry. He's usually just, like, kind of sassing people who are threatening him. He's hilarious, and I almost don't think there's anything necessarily mentally wrong as much as Jonathan's probably screaming right now, but he laughs at everything. He just laughs and lets it go and doesn't worry about stuff, which is kind of almost, in a freaky way, almost admirable.
He rolls with the punches. No, I don't have a problem with that. You know, there are people like this that you know in your life that, you know, no matter what happens, they roll with it. They go on and they make the best of it and they move on. I mean, he is so full of bravado and you don't know if it's an act or if it's just, he's like, okay, there's always another day. I'll always find my way out. He never really seems, even when he's confronting Grievous and said, this is not a good way of doing business, he never really seems all that bent out of shape about it. Like, you know, frustrated at most, but not angry.
Even when he realizes that his own men talked too much and gave up that Hondo has secret hidden ships, he's just like, I see my men talked. But there's no, like, Jabba the Hutt kind of vengeance on them. He's just like, oh, well, pirates will be pirates. Let's move on. And yeah, this is what makes him just a fun, chaotic experience. We talked at the beginning of this. I thought Young Jedi was going to be a new series. I don't know that I would watch a series week after week that focused on Petro and Katooni and all of them. But you give me Hondo the series, I am there. And he's not just crazy, he's effective in a fight. I mean, he and the Jedi teamed up and were able to effectively escape.
I spoke earlier about that moment that I was wondering about the fate of one of our characters. And there's that point where Ahsoka and the majority of the Padawans and R2 and the other droid have been thrown out of their speeders and tanks, and Grievous is, you know, attacking them. And there's that point where Ahsoka is engaged with Grievous as the others are trying to escape. And I actually, even though in the back of my head I knew they couldn't do it, for a moment there, I wondered if this was going to be the moment where Ahsoka's fate is decided. Because that was just an intense scene. I loved it. I thought it was great.
I think by this point I'd become numb because this had been an entire half hour of action. And while I was on the edge of my seat during the first scenes, by this point I was just kind of watching it. It was just kind of washing over me. This episode is almost wall-to-wall action.
But you didn't feel like at that point where the younglings are getting on the ship and she's holding off Grievous that you're thinking she might sacrifice herself that they could get away? Because that was what was going through my mind.
No, I just figured she'd find a way out. Ahsoka always does. I wasn't expecting it to be on Slave One, but I was expecting her to find a way.
See, here's where Jonathan and I agree. Because what a great way to take Ahsoka out. You know, we always thought it might be defending Captain Rex or her master Anakin. But what if she gets taken out defending these kids? You know, that'd be a great way to martyr Ahsoka. So yeah, it did for me. I agree with you, Jonathan. It ramped up the tension for me when she's fighting off Grievous.
Yeah, this fight was a serious step up from the last time she faced Grievous. I didn't really think there was anything going to happen to her since she was able to hold her own against him, at least for a little while, back in, I think it was season 1, during, I think it was the Malevolence trilogy. But Grievous was definitely on his game a bit more this time. He was doing a lot more, and I felt like, while I still wasn't afraid for Ahsoka, they made me a lot more interested in the battle because they were really trading some blows there. And I'm totally with you. That grabbing her face thing, that was awesome. That was really dramatic.
I mean, because Grievous is more of a threat now, and I'm hoping that they continue that portrayal of him through the rest of this season and on, that he is a threat, he is a danger, because through this episode, he did feel a lot more menacing. You know, there was part of me that was wondering if this is where they would go. And like Baron said, it would have almost been an effective way to deal with the character. And as we said, before in earlier episodes in the C6 coverage, I really believe that Filoni knows, well, obviously Filoni knows Ahsoka's fate, and that it's coming up on us quite quickly.
You think, huh? I'm not so optimistic. We will wait and see, though. Well, that's what we four theoretical adults thought about this episode. Referring to myself, I think we're all kids at heart. But we have some real kids chiming in one last time with their thoughts about the young Jedi. And we're going to start with a first-time caller to Republic Forces.
Hi, I'm William Fleck, and I'm 10 years old, and I'm going to say my thoughts about the newest Star Wars show. So I'm just going to say I like the speeder chase in the beginning because that was really funny. And it was really cool. I think Mr. Huang looked really funny when he had no arms, because you don't really see that all the time. I also liked Hondo's pet and his pet's colors because they're blue and yellow. And I love how they brought in Boba Fett's ship, the Slave One, into it, because at the end of it, it was really cool. And also, it was so, so, so cool watching Grievous fight Ahsoka. So those are my thoughts. And so, yeah, William Fleck. Bye.
Well, thank you for calling. Yeah, I was surprised to see Huang back at all myself, arms or no arms. And by the end of the episode, he'd been put fully back together again, kind of this episode's C-3PO. Much like the children we've heard from previous episodes, it sounds like this arc really worked for him and clicked for that age range.
Yeah, we really appreciate him calling in. And I just like to comment on the Huang R2-D2 dynamic. Did anybody else feel that Huang really fit into R2-D2's kind of comedic rhythm? I mean, he really kind of fit in. I mean, he really did take the place of C-3PO really well. And I could actually see Huang being a frequent part of maybe a Young Jedi series.
And do you think maybe Anthony Daniels would be the next Doctor in that case?
Anthony Daniels has Star Wars money. He doesn't need Doctor Who money.
But we also do have some returning callers.
Yes, my son Caleb called in and wanted to leave his thoughts on the episode.
Hi, it's Caleb again. I am calling in to talk about Unnecessary Bond. I like this episode a lot because it was fun to see the young Jedi work with Hondo and defeat the droids in Grievous. I liked how Katooni liked Hondo a lot because Katooni was on his speeder and all that. He offered her to become part of his crew. I like seeing Boba Fett's ship and Jango Fett's ship. And I like seeing the twilight on the front of the magic door. I hope I see the young Jedi again. I really like this episode, and I hope I see another episode on Clone Wars. This is Caleb. May the Force be with you always.
Thanks for calling, Caleb. Yeah, we didn't talk too much about Hondo and Katooni. We talked a little bit about it, but I'm not sure how I felt as an adult about him taking her under his wing, because I couldn't decide if he's trying to corrupt Jedi youth, which is something I could see very much in line with Hondo's evil plans, or if it was just a very kid-friendly, let's give Hondo a kid sidekick kind of thing. So because I didn't know the writer's intent, and because it was kind of written, like much of this episode, just a little bit flat, I didn't click with it as much as you did.
Well, I mean, I think it's interesting to note that how, you know, a child perceives this. I mean, Caleb is 6 years old. You know, he likes Hondo as much as everybody else, and I think, you know, maybe thinks it'd be fun if a Jedi joined a pirate gang, because he may not understand all the dynamics of what Hondo's character represents. That being said, you know, I tend to agree with you that I think Hondo was like, oh, well, you know, maybe taking the approach that a Jedi could be useful. But this isn't the first time that we've seen a quote-unquote pirate with a heart of gold try to take a young Jedi. If we think back to episode 4, I believe that Han made that offer to Luke.
That's true. I guess because Katooni's so young, I didn't make the Luke correlation. But yeah, it is, I guess, very much that Hondo is just a even more evil Han Solo. And any of these young Jedi could be seen as the Luke. I've always put Petro in that role, much to Baron's chagrin. But yeah, I can see what you're saying, Jonathan. That makes a lot of sense. And our next voicemail comes from Baron's son, Pharaoh.
Hello, this is Master Zanite, calling in again with my thoughts on the new Clone Wars episode, Necessary Bond, the conclusion of the young Jedi story arc. There was lots of crashes in this episode, and I kept wondering how Huang and R2-D2 survived the crashes without any arms to hold on to things. But they did, and that's cool. I thought that it was funny that Hondo wanted to see Katooni build her lightsaber in front of him, because that's what I wanted to see too. And when she built it, Hondo was happy to help the young Jedi. My dad really likes Hondo and Naka, but he reminds me of an uncle that I'm supposed to stay away from. He's fun, but you can't trust him not to sell me when the price is right. But you're cool, Uncle Ryan. Hondo seems to have made friends with Katooni, like he did with Boba Fett. I think that's why he fixed up Slave 1 after Ahsoka crashed it. I wonder how Boba Fett will get his ship back, whether Hondo will give it to him, or will Boba Fett have to take it? Grievous has been really scary in this episode, and I hope Grievous stays big and scary in the future. The lessons that Gnoti, Katooni, Gunji, Biff, Zat, and Petro have learned in this arc have been very different. In one, we learn patience. In another, we know that breaking the rules is a good thing. I hope that future lessons won't be so confusing. I think that the young Jedi's first mission of building their lightsabers has made them grow up a little to becoming great Jedi Knights. It makes me really excited to wonder what adventures they go on next. This is Master Zanai with the conclusion of my thoughts on the young Jedi story arc. It was really fun watching these with my dad and calling in to the show every week. This is Master Zanite, and peace off.
Thanks, Pharaoh, and I'm sorry about your uncle. That's kind of a...
He knows about Uncle Ryan, trust me.
Uncle Ryan, Uncle Hondo, okay. I like Pharaoh's comments, though, on the morality of the young Jedi arcs. It's very astute for someone his age, and he's dead on.
You know, we talked about that, you know, just from the very first episode about the lessons. I mean, the very first episode was lesson-centric, you know, how we're going to get introduced to Gnoti, Katooni, Biff, Gunji, Zat, and Petro. And they all had to learn their individual lesson. So that was the big thing, I think, in the back of Master Zanite's mind as he watched the rest of these episodes. So I'm not exactly sure what the lesson was this time, but, you know, Jonathan, Caleb had mentioned the dynamic between Katooni and Hondo, and that was something that Pharaoh gravitated towards, too. Again, you know, he knows to stay away from Uncle Hondo, which I guess is a lesson in itself. But no, we really enjoyed watching these episodes, and he really enjoyed having being able to call in week by week, and he's very excited that people get to hear his opinion on things.
And our last voicemail this week comes from Jonathan's other son, Jonah.
Hi, this is Jonah. I've called in to talk about the latest episode, A Necessary Bond. I really like this episode for a lot of reasons. The first reason is there's a lot of action. Also, I like Gutu's new lightsaber. I liked it when the Jedi were fighting. It looks like they were dancing while they were fighting. My favorite character is Petro. I like when he took out the droids. I also like Hondo when he used the sword to battle the droids. And another thing I liked is Grievous's brand new speeder. I hope they make a toy of it in the stores. I hope my dad gets it for me. Another thing I liked about Grievous is when he fought, he seemed more stronger. It was weird to see the twilight crash into the mountain. I also can't believe Hondo stole Boba Fett's ship. I really like the Padawans, and I can't wait to see them in the future as grown-ups. Thank you. This has been Jonah.
Oh, Jonathan, your son made me so proud. we want some toys too. We want some toys. When he said that that speeder needs to be made out of a toy, my thoughts exactly.
But overall, all three of my children really liked this arc, and I think it may have actually drawn my daughter back into Clone Wars, so let's hope that the next arc kind of keeps up her interest. But I'm hopeful that they do bring these characters, these young Jedi, in, because I can say that both my boys are invested in those characters. They see maybe pieces of themselves that they're a little bit easier to relate to on a more basic level than some of the other characters that they see out there, the Anakins, the Obi-Wans, even the Ahsokas. So, I mean, hopefully that we'll see them come back in some way, shape, or form.
I totally agree with that. I think that my son has Master Zenai, does see himself a little bit in each one of the characters. And what I find interesting, after listening to all the voicemails as a whole, how interesting it is that our kids pick out the same kind of high points, you know, that they liked. You know, they all liked Gungi. They all liked Gungi's lightsaber. They all noticed Hondo's relationship with Katooni, the speeder, stuff like that, you know. So it's kind of like what we think would make a good show is not necessarily what our kids think makes a good show, you know, and it's kind of interesting to see that dynamic.
Well, I mean, if this arc was targeted for younger kids, I think overall they hit it out of the park. I think they did a really good job, because this was something, as you said, that they seem to get a lot more out of than maybe some of the typical Clone Wars episodes. So, yeah, we'll see where they go with it.
Yes, we will, and we'll see where they go with Clone Wars for the rest of this season. As I've said, this does bring Young Jedi to an end, but if the Clone Wars series has shown us nothing by the fact that we're still talking about Hondo in Season 5, and I thought he was a one-off nobody in Season 1, I have a feeling these Young Jedi story is not yet complete. And so that is it for this episode of Republic Forces Radio Network. We will be back next week with the start of a new arc, one focused completely on R2-D2. I guess we find out, is C-3PO jealous about his relationship with Hwang? Is it one of those episodes where Hwang and 3PO meet cute? So Jonathan, Barrett, Jen, thank you for joining me these past few weeks. It's been a blast.
It really has. I like this episode, and I think not only being for the kids, it really is sparked some very interesting conversations here.
Yeah, I have to agree. This was probably my most favorite episode arc, not because of the content so much, it's because of all the things that went around it, with having to spend some really good quality time with Master Zanai, and actually happening to hear the thoughts of other people's children, of my friends' children, on certain things. So it was very fun. This was a great arc.
Yeah, this was a fun arc. I enjoyed, except for that third episode, I enjoyed it a lot. So looking forward to the next one.
Thank you for listening to Republic Forces Radio Network. Remember, we want your thoughts on the next episode of the Clone Wars series. You can leave us a voicemail at 415-508-JEDI every week from the time the new episode airs, and voicemails received by 1 a.m. Sunday morning may be included in our next episode. You can find our reviews of previous Clone Wars episodes, as well as our summer series reviewing the classic droid cartoon series, at our website, www.republicforces.com. And be sure to listen to our other Star Wars podcast, Star Wars Action News, covering all aspects of Star Wars collecting, from figures to high-end collectibles to Star Wars Band-Aids. Republic Forces Radio Network is hosted by Jerry, Arnie, Dan, Jen, Barrent, and Nathan P. Butler of StarWarsFanWorks.com. Republic Forces Radio Network, RepublicForces.com, and Star Wars Action News are not affiliated with Lucasfilm or any other official Star Wars-related company. Star Wars and all of the Star Wars universe contains are copyright and trademark, Lucasfilm Limited, and no infringement is intended. Republic Forces Radio Network is a Venganza Media production, copyright 2012, all rights reserved.